Okay, I think we finally fucking have this working. This used to work, but no, it's no. Nothing can ever just fucking work consistently, can it? You know, ah, shit. You know what I don't have? I don't have the book. Alright, no, keep recording, it's fine. I got it. All right, we're good to go. I think, maybe. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Trump's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Oh, go fuck yourself. Yes. I am here to hurt your goddamn feelings. There's going to be some feelings hurt today, boys and girls. Oh, there'll be some devastated little fucking feelings. And why is that? It's because I am the Great One himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, and this is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile my intellect hones in on, destroy stupid motherfucking statists all around the world. All kinds of statists. Right-wing statists, left-wing statists, homo statists, GLBT, KKK statists, cyber statists, anarcho-sissies, and femistatist. Today we're gonna hurt the feelings of some fucking femistatist, because that's one of my favorite, very, very favorite things in the world, is finding a femistatist and shitting in her face. And that's the beauty of the internet. Because with the internet, I can record this podcast and shit in the face of a femistatist that I've never even met. Femistatist on the other side of the planet Earth can listen to this podcast and get their little fucking feelings hurt and be like, oh my god, the sand in my pussy. Oh, 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 the patriarchy is holding me down. Oh, the patriarchy. And I can just oppress those fucking femistatists and shit all over them. Oh, it's the most wonderful fucking thing. So today we're going to talk about some femistatists, because we've been talking about the election and Donald Trump. I think the podcast after this, we're going to talk about the Colorado election. I need to get that done. I need to talk about my predictions, what I was right about, what I was wrong about. I got a little voter's guide reference to this. Anyway, that's going to be probably the next episode. I think we're going to do that next. But right now, whoa, fuck, where are my notes? Shit. Is that them? I have so much paper flying around all of a sudden. Yes, here we go. This is the correct notes. Hi there, I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. You can find us on the internet at cynlibsoc.com. You can send email, whether it's love mail, hate mail, death threats, love notes, naked pictures of you, naked pictures of your girlfriend, naked pictures of your boyfriend, naked pictures of your girlfriend and your boyfriend, naked pictures of both of your girlfriends. Whatever the fuck you want to send, you can try sending viruses, and it doesn't matter, I use Linux. You can do whatever the fuck you want. You can send that shit. You can send your emails to God, dog spelled backwards, G-O-D, at cynlibsoc.com, on the motherfucking interwebs, and also on the Twitterverse, and we're on the Facebook, and we're on the Google+. Don't waste your time communicating with me on the Facebook and the Google+, because I don't really do those, and I might be on the gab.ai in the future. I have an account, haven't done anything with it, because I have shit to do. Like spending 5 hours, was it yesterday? Randy, what the fuck is, was today? Yes, yesterday was Thanksgiving. As I talked about in Friday's podcast, which was not a very good podcast in retrospect, I know that. I'm perfectly aware that it was not, it went out today, actually. Today is Friday. Today's podcast, we're recording this on Friday, you'll hear this on Monday. Today's podcast was not that good. Recorded it last night. I was tired, yada, yada. Anyhow, the fuck has nothing to do with anything. Let's get straight into pissing off feminist. I'm just the fucking whining, the fucking ongoing whining. For quite a while now, I have been explaining to you people the whole thing. Women have to be victims, okay? If women are not victims, and CLSology is coming, some of the shit is in there. Look, women always seek attention. And the easiest, the best way to get attention, the way you can get attention with the least amount of investment, is to just be a victim. That's all you have to do, is be a victim. And because our society is filled with so many beta male pussified sissies, men are just fall all over themselves to buy into the notion that every woman is a victim, and women are victimized, and women are oppressed, and women are held down. Even though there is no animal on the planet Earth other than handicapped people in the United States of America who is more spoiled than the white woman from North America. I listen to a fair number of podcasts. Not just political, philosophical, blah, 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 talking head like me. But I like the story podcast. And some of my favorites throughout the years have been Pseudopod, which does horror stories, Escape Pod, that does science fiction stories, and the Travelcast, which does science fiction, horror, and just assorted weird stories. And I began listening to these many years ago. Well, not, I guess I should say many years ago, but some odd number of years ago, however long ago they were around. They haven't been around all that long. But they're still around and they're going strong. And I have noticed and this is one of those things too. I was about to say, I have noticed a decline in the quality of the stories. But that's not necessarily true. Because, and this is one of the reasons why I'm the great one, because I have self-awareness. There are a couple of things that could be happening here. These stories could be declining. That's a possibility. Another possibility is that my standards could be going up. The quality of the stories could, in fact, be remaining exactly the same. But my standards for what makes a good story could be going up. And what I have discovered in listening to the last batch of podcast, story podcast from Drabblecast and from Escape Pod, is that most of them suck. Now, you need a little information about my listening habits. I have Escape Pod and Drabblecast in my RSS reader. Each time I log into Linux, for every day I fire up my RSS reader for my podcast, because I use a different RSS reader for podcast and videos than I do for just written word. And I download all the podcasts, and they're stored on my hard drive. And then I have a iPod that is specifically for the podcast. And so when it's time to load the iPod, I will delete what's on. Once I've listened to all the podcasts on the iPod, which could take months to do, I delete all of that, and then I'll go in and just like, okay, so now I'm going to dump all the Escape Pod episodes I have. I'm going to dump all the Drabblecast episodes I have. So I'm dumping 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months worth of podcast onto the iPod, and then I'm listening to those. So I'm perpetually behind. I'm not listening to the latest podcast that have come out from any of these sources. And I do the same thing with the Clary podcast, Aaron Clary's podcast, Captain Capitalism, CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com. And so I'm always behind on what's going on. And thus, I'm listening to the latest batch of podcast from Escape Pod and from Drabblecast, which are, at this time, months old. And they're fucking terrible. It's like listening to Harlequin romance stories. It's not science fiction. It's not horror. It's feelings. It's primarily female characters talking about their feelings. There's this one story I'm listening to, and the setup is that there's two women piloting this spaceship, because it can't be men at all. Okay, and in case you haven't guessed this, a vast majority of these stories are written by women. So I'm listening to the introductions, and I've really started paying attention, because honestly, in the past, I didn't pay that much attention. The story came on, I listened to it. You know, it registered in my brain maybe at the time when they said the author's name, if it was a man or a woman. But it really wasn't a big deal. Now I've started paying attention. And right now I'm going through Drabblecast, and I've got a shit ton of episodes on the iPod. I don't have the iPod here, otherwise I'd tell you. But I want to say it's something like 80 episodes. And of all the ones I've listened to, or actually most of them I've skipped, which is what we'll talk about in a minute, most of them are written by women. And they're terrible. Okay, so I'm listening to this story. It's written by a woman. And I've talked about this before. Back there are some casts where I talked about one of the stories I listened to on one of these podcasts written by a woman about this society where when women become old and ugly, they actually become invisible. Like, men cannot see these women anymore. Not because the women became invisible or they took a pill or they used a cloaking device or anything like that. Men in the story could not see the women because the women became old and ugly. And the old, ugly women who were unseen were actually running the society, you know, behind the, and I'm just like, I talked about this extensively. It's just fucking this fucking feminist wet dream, because feminists think that women who are old and ugly should be in control of everything. I have a beer here, so that was me pausing for a drink. Okay, I'm listening to this story. It's written by a woman. And the setup is these two chicks are on this spaceship, and they're going out to this comet that's approaching the Earth, and they're going to plant an explosive charge on it and blow it up so that the comet deviates away and does not hit the planet Earth. Okay. Good enough so far. It's the story we've seen 100 times in print and in movies. That Bruce Willis story was the same thing. Bruce Willis movie, I don't even remember what it's called, but it doesn't matter. But and that's fine, right? There's not really any new ideas under the sun. It's fine. I'm not ragging on the author for that. So they get closer, and it turns out that one of the women is actually a member of the death cult that wants the comet to hit the planet Earth. So she locks the other person out of the spaceship, a la 2001, so we stole this, because the other woman, the hero of the story, the hero of the story had gone outside to fix the communications array, just like in 2001 Space Odyssey, because we have no original ideas. We'll talk about no original ideas in a minute. That's on the list, too. And got locked out of the ship, and so the fanatical woman, who's a member of the death cult, crashes the spaceship into the comet. And the other woman, the hero, lives through this because she got into the airlock, but she couldn't get in the inner door. And she managed to live through this, and now she's stranded on the surface of this comet. And the obvious setup is, you know, is there a way she can still stop the comet from hitting Earth? Is there a way she can get off the comet? All of this stuff. So there's a setup. All in all, this is not bad. This has the makings of a very good science fiction story. Okay, you've got some conflict, and you're stuck there, and it's you, and there's nobody's coming to rescue you, and you've got to use your wits and your intelligence, and you got to figure out a fucking way to get the fuck off this comet and get back to Earth, and also hopefully stop the comet from hitting Earth. Otherwise, what's the point of going back to Earth, right? Because the comet's going to cause a massive amount of destruction. Well, you might still live anyway, so you should still go back to Earth. But the point is, there is a challenge to overcome. There's a journey to make. There's great potential for storytelling and for utilizing science and for showing us how does this character problem solve her way out of this. And I'm 20 minutes into the story, and that's as far as we've gotten. I mean, I've just explained it to you. That's how much of it. The rest of it is her and her feelings. The character that crashed the ship, well, they were such good friends in college, and when they were training together, and oh, they went out and got drunk together, and you know, they fucked random guys together, and oh my god, she's remembering her mommy, and oh my god, this is how she feels, and then she has feelings, and then we have to hear about her feelings, and then there's more talking about her feelings, and then it's some more feelings, and then it's like, oh, okay, now the spaceship crashed, okay, now let's talk about our feelings, and then there's more some feelings, and then we talk about the feelings, and then the author writes some more about the feelings, and then there's some stuff about the feelings that she has for the woman who crashed the ship, and how, what a great friend this person is, you know, this person who just stranded you on a comet and is going to attempt to kill a large number of people on the planet Earth by not steering the comet away from people because she's a member of a death cult, but oh, she's such a great friend, and she's so wonderful, and feelings, and then feelings, and we talk some more about some feelings, and then there's some more feelings. And it's like listening to a fucking romance novel. And yes, I have listened to romance novels. I have gotten some romance novels on audiobook, and I have listened to them. I've talked about that on the podcast, because I attempt, I'm not always able to do it, because we're all, but I attempt to not criticize things I haven't experienced. I have listened to romance novels to hear what they're like. So when I say this is written like a fucking romance novel, I know what the fuck I'm talking about. Women, especially the femistatist, just as they have invaded video games, just as they seek to destroy video game culture, just as they seek to destroy Western culture, so too are they invading science fiction with this unending impulse and desire to destroy science fiction. Women have this bizarre need, right? Femistatist, I should not say women. I'm going to try to be clear. Because again, when I say women, I mean all women. When I say femistatist, I mean a particular subgroup of women. There are differences. Femistatists have this need to invade any area that is exclusively male and twist it into being female. And one of the ways they do this is with the victim card, because this is how they do most of what they do. Look at the NFL. The NFL used to be manly, used to be something men did. Now, women wear football jerseys, and women talk about football, and women watch football, and women are on the TV calling the football, and women are fucking all in football, and the football players wear pink, and they wear little pink ribbons, and they're like breast cancer awareness. Because women have used their victimhood. We are victims. Oh, we get raped. Oh, we have breast cancer. Oh, we're victims. And they use that to weasel their way in to any area of existence where men go to do manly things without women. Science fiction used to be good. When you read old science fiction books from the 60s and the 70s, they're racist, they're sexist. No, it's just men actually doing things instead of talking about their fucking feelings. I'm listening to these podcasts now, which represent the latest and greatest in science fiction. I'm listening to another one, which terrifyingly enough is written by a person I know. He is a science fiction writer. He used to live here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. He doesn't live here anymore, but I know him and I know his wife, and his wife is kind of bangable. They have a kid now, so I've heard, which is terrifying, that he reproduced. And again, like most of these people, he's this white, pasty, pudgy, slightly overweight, just loser-looking fucking piece of shit who is filled with guilt about being white and sexual inadequacies and how he landed a wife as hot as his wife. I don't know. I mean, she's not like supermodel hot, but she's really fucking cute. How a pasty, white, pudgy fag like him landed her, I don't know. And the fact that he's reproducing, although hopefully if we're lucky, it's a good chance that's not actually his kid. I'm sure he's not man enough to do paternity testing. But so this story comes on and I'm like, oh my God, it's him. And I'm listening to the story, and it's about this social justice warrior chick who's in college, and she is, she's a member of Occupy Wall Street or something similar to that. And something weird is going on in the movement that people aren't showing up to the protest. So she leaves to go off on this quest to find out what's going on. And this friend of hers at the college, who is, of course, a rich white man, he's the child of rich white people, he's white, and he's the little rich kid. So she gets him because he's always trying to hit on her and stuff. And she uses him because she doesn't have a car because she's poor, right? Because she's a minority, she's disadvantaged. So during the story, it makes it clear that he keeps trying to ask her, hey, you want to go get lunch? Hey, you want to? And she always blows him off. But then, of course, as soon as she needs something from him, she needs his automobile. She needs him to drive her around so that she can fulfill her purpose. Then, of course, like a typical femistatist, she fucking uses him to get what she wants. She won't go to lunch with him. No, because of course, obviously he's a rapist, right? That's why he's asking her, hey, do you want to go to lunch together? Because he's a fucking rapist and he's white. But when she needs something from him, well, that's totally okay. She'll go and say, hey, give me a fucking ride. Get in your car that your parents bought you. Spend your money. You take time not going to class like I'm gonna, and you drive me the fuck around, even though I won't even give you the fucking time of day. Typical fucking feminist. Nothing exists in the world except for her. Every fucking thing on the planet Earth revolves around her needs. She can shit in your face as much as she wants. She can reject you. She can blow you off. But when she wants something, you're supposed to fucking provide it for her. And of course, because he is a rich, guilt-laden white man, beta male, he of course says, oh, of course I'll drive you around. So they're driving around, and they're talking about something, and somehow the conversation is something like, she's saying to him, if you ever, you know, you're rich, and you get everything you want, and yada, yada, yada. And he says something like, well, sometimes you really want things that you just can't have, and that's why I want you so much. And I heard, and that's paraphrasing, but that was the gist of it, right? He says to her, well, I don't think I can have you, and that's why I want you so much. And I'm just like, oh, fucking Christ. Skip. I don't know what happened after that because I hit the fucking forward button and went to the next story. This wet dream, this feminist wet dream that is infiltrating science fiction and horror. It's fucking pathetic. Another person who's up on this is Vox Day. He's the guy who wrote the book Social Justice Warriors Always Lie. He is a science fiction author. He was essentially run out of the world of science fiction writers by the social justice warriors because he thought that science fiction should be about writing good stories, not about social justice warrioring. I would recommend if you're You know, this is the science fiction horror story equivalent of Gamergate. Just as Anita Kuntzlesian has attempted to spearhead this movement by her and other feminist cunts to destroy video gaming, to make it politically correct, to dumb it down, to make it about feelings and all of this other stuff. There's this whole assembly of fucking nasty, filthy femistatist cunts who are doing the same thing to science fiction. And there's a bunch of fucking beta male enablers who are kissing their asses and helping them do it. Listening to the latest round of Escape Pod and Drabblecast, I have had to skip a large number of stories. It starts off again, the one with the girl crashing on the comet, right? It's like after 20 minutes, like, I can't take this anymore. It's just her fucking feelings. I don't give a shit anymore. Skip. And I have started paying attention. Most of the authors are women. Most of the stories by women suck balls. A solid 50% of the stories by men, and men at this point, men are like maybe 20%. The other 80% is all female. I don't know if it's all right. Hang on. Do I have? Shit, I don't have that here. I like girls. I like beer. That's the wrong fucking thing. Don't click on that, dumbass. I like data. I want to see if I can actually give you a real number instead of me just saying shit. Music players, iPod current load. Yes, maybe. Album? Oh, what the fuck? This can't be right. This is not right. iPod load. Aaron Cleary. Sort by album. Saw Cleary's podcast in there. Windows, why do you suck so much? Should I say that after just talking about how I use Linux? Damn it. It doesn't have... Damn it. All right, I can't. I wanted to actually... I was trying to see if I could quickly pull up some information to actually give you a true number of how many stories are written by women versus how many written by men. It's EscapePod, escapepod.org, Drabblecast. I don't remember the URL. Type it into Google. Go there, look. Okay, look. Okay, here we go. Almost all the stories by women, which is a solid 75% of the stories, just suck balls. It's all about feelings and emotions. There's no science fiction. On top of that, I've noticed this. Listening to the introductions to the podcast, so come on, they'll say, you know, and this story today was written by bloody blah, blah, blah. You know, this story was written by George Jones, and George lives in Washington State. He has three cats, you know, so the... And I have noticed that now they're coming on and saying, this story is written by Stephanie James, and they live in Washington, and they have three cats. And it's just like, are you fucking shitting me? And as soon as the introduction refers to the author as they instead of he or she, I don't even listen to the story. I skip forward. I am not listening, nor will I ever read, unless I just do it by accident. Once I find out that you expect to be referred to as they instead of he or she, you're dead to me. I'm not reading anything you write. I'm not listening to anything you write. And you can racist, sexist, fagophobic me all you fucking want. I will drop my ball sack in your mouth and slap you aside the head while you're sucking on it. Okay? All of this... So anyway, back when I started listening to these podcasts, they were just podcasts, right? People would write stories, you'd send them in, they'd pick out the ones they liked, they would produce them, record them, they'd put them out. Now, Escape Pod, Pseudopod, Podcastle, Drabblecast have all started doing this thing where they do an entire month of female authors. Because 75% female authors isn't enough. So they do an entire month where it's only female authors, where in order to get your story published and produced that month, you have to be a woman. Because, well, you know, your shit sucks so bad that the only way it can get published and produced is if you get preferential treatment based on your sex organs. The victimology. This is what I'm talking about. I'm a woman. I'm a victim. I've been discriminated against. There should be a month where only stories by women are produced because we're so discriminated against. No, honey, you're not discriminated against in the world of science fiction because you're a woman. You're discriminated against because your writing sucks. Thinking of women in science fiction, I'm thinking of this because I just watched a documentary about Star Trek, which is only partially about Star Trek, is a really terrible documentary. But DC Fontana. DC Fontana, she's a woman. She's worked on the original Star Trek series. She has written some Star Trek episodes that have been fan-produced. She wrote at least one episode for, I think it was New Voyages, maybe a couple. I mean, she wrote for the original Star Trek series. She started, I forget exactly what her job was when she started with the original Star Trek, but basically she was the girl who would go get cups of coffee for the real writers, right? But remember, Star Trek was only on the air for 3 years. She very quickly, they started saying, here, help us rewrite this. And they saw her skills and they'd like to fucking write some stories. She became a writer for Star Trek. And she didn't get that because she was whining about being a victim. She got that because she wrote good stories. She was a talented writer. She had skill. She had craft. Now it's just like, I have a vagina. You should do a whole month of stories written by people with vaginas. It doesn't matter if their stories suck or not. And I mean, some of these stories, listen, goddammit, people, science fiction, listen to these podcasts. Go to Escape Pod, goddammit. There's three of them. They're all by the same parent company. Escape Pod is the science fiction. Pseudopod is the horror. And Podcastle is the fantasy. I don't listen to Podcastle that much because I'm not that much into the fantasy. Mostly I like the horror and the sci-fi. But you go and you listen to these episodes of Escape Pod, which are supposed to be science fiction. And there's no fucking science fiction. It's just female characters. And again, I should start tracking this shit. Again, it's not just female writers. It's almost all the characters are females. The lead characters are all females. There's almost no. And again, another one I recently, Drabblecast, recent stories. Another one I listened about this woman and she's married. And it's all the shit. She's this woman and she's married to this abusive husband who's having an affair and he's faking being injured so he doesn't have to work. And she's doing all the work and he just sits at home in the trailer and fucking calls her fat and lazy. And I mean, it's every fucking stereo. And she gets this doll that you pull the string and the doll talks to her. And the doll is essentially her white knight. I mean, it's just this fucking femistatist fantasy. It's white men are racist, sexist, homophobic, and lazy, and hateful, and women are oppressed by these evil white men, and then there's this white knight in the form of this talking doll who shows up and saves her from oppression. It's not even veiled. It's not even thinly veiled. It's just feminist propaganda. This is not science fiction. And this is what science fiction is becoming, because nobody in science fiction, with the exception of Vox Day and a couple of other people, will tell these fucking femistatist cunts to shut the fuck up and go away. Everybody is so terrified of them because they have vaginas. And the science fiction, these dumb fucking whores are writing, it is pure shit. It is shit. Go to Escape Pod and listen to the shit. But see, this is not enough. We have, and they call it the month, they refer to it as Artemis Rising. That's the month in which they only feature female authors. So I'm listening to it, and I think it was Escape Pod that said this. And again, remember, I'm way behind on my podcast, so this has probably already happened. So the person giving the introduction to the podcast is talking, and he says, yes, we had such great success with Artemis Rising, such great success with our month of female-only authors, that now we're going to do a month where we only publish the works of authors who are non-binary, or whatever. Who basically, if you're straight, you can't get your fucking fiction published that month. It's only people who are mentally ill. You have to be GLBTKKK that month in order for your fucking story to get published. God forbid. God fucking Artemis forbid. She's a goddess. Artemis fucking forbid that your science fiction story should be published on the merit of how good of a science fiction story it is. No, 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 we can't have that. We're going to publish your story based on the fact that you're a man who likes sucking dick. We're going to publish your story based on the fact that you're a woman who identifies as gender neutral, who enjoys licking pussy. See, that's what's really important. Your skill as a writer, your ability to craft a story, your ability to tell a science fiction story that doesn't get bogged down in feelings and actually has some science in it and actually something happened. No, none of that fucking matters. What matters is what kind of fucking sex organs you have and what kind of sex organs you like to bump up against your sex organs. That's how we're going to make decisions. Because victim card. Science fiction is being absolutely fucking trashed. Then you couple that with the fucking J.J. Abrams Star Trek shit, right? Which is basically every action adventure. It's just a bunch of people running around blowing things up. And I'm the one who always talks about how Captain Kirk, you know, blows shit up and pulls out a phaser. In reality, in the original Star Trek, this was part of the original Star Trek. This is why original Star Trek is still one of the greatest science fiction. Because while there were times when Captain Kirk shot people and blew things up and used phasers and photon torpedoes and explosives, the original Star Trek, and this is what so many people don't like, but there's just all this talking, there's no action. Yeah, kind of like in real life, where intelligent people talk and they negotiate their way out of things. They negotiate things with other people. They make deals. Not like social justice warriors who scream victim and then try to blow things up metaphorically. The new Star Trek is, in a sort of metaphorical sense, an equivalent to femistatism. Femistatism seeks to destroy any opposition And the new Star Trek movies, they're not about talking and negotiating and finding peaceful solutions. It's about shooting things and blowing things up, and there's action and adventure, and everybody's racked with guilt, and everybody wants to have sex with each other, and everybody's just, I want to fuck. Oh, I'm going to kill something. Oh, I want to kill something while I fuck it. Oh, I want to fuck it while I'm killing it. It's not Star Trek. It's just a shitty action adventure movie. And this is bringing with it this whole lack of originality. Because, let's just face it, the femistatist and the other kin and the GLBT, KKK, and the homostatist and all these people that are invading science fiction, these people do not have much originality. I mean, their entire life revolves around playing the victim card. So you can't claim you have originality when your whole existence is playing the victim card. Look at all the fucking remakes lately. I did an Anarchy Moment about this. Okay, we've remade Star Trek. They remade Ghostbusters, massive failure. I saw they're remaking Lethal Weapon as a TV series. They're remaking MacGyver as a TV series. And then, horror of fucking horrors, when I saw this, I almost shit myself. They're remaking Rocky Horror Picture Show. Is nothing sacred to you cocksucking faggots? Is there nothing sacred to you fucking millennials and you goddamn femistatist and you GLBT KKKers? Now, if you're not a Rocky Horror Picture Show fan, you may not this is like shitting on the original Star Trek. Like, Rocky Horror Picture Show does not need to be remade and re-envisioned by little fucking millennials and feminists. Rocky Horror Picture Show is perfect and wonderful and brilliant exactly like it is. And of course, then there's, I'm not a comic book person anymore, but all the comic book characters are being turned into black people and Hispanic people and women and homosexuals and gender neutral. And all of this is because these people are a group which encompasses the GLBT, KKK, the homostatist, the femistatist, all of these fucking people. They have no original ideas. And they show up and they want to latch on to anything that men have created and made good, the NFL, science fiction. They want to latch on to these things and destroy them. They want to latch on to these things and take over and play the victim card and get attention and pretend that they're as good as the people. No, you are not as good as Robert Heinlein. You women out there, I'm not saying there are no good female science fiction writers. What's that one chick's name? God damn it. Randy, do you remember the one chick? She wrote the book, A is for Alien, Caitlin Kernan? Something like that. Anyhow. And even she, I mean, I read some of her life. She's a lesbian, but I don't care because she has talent. The book is called, and she's written more than one book, but the one that I read that just fucking blew me away, and I've talked about it on this podcast, I'm pretty sure the title is A is for Alien. And her name is Caitlin Kiernan, as I think. So the Kiernan is with a K. I think that's her name. Anyway, find the book, read it. It's fucking, I don't care who she fucks. She can lick all the pussy she wants. She has talent. The stories in that book, holy fucking shit, were good. I mean, fucking brilliant. 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 Okay, she has talent. But most of these fucking other kin, femistatist, homostatist, GLBT, KKK, I identify as an attack helicopter. Authors, They don't have any talent. That's why they need a month of only female authors. That's why they need a month of only homosexual authors. So that's the only way their shit can get published. Because they fucking suck. Okay, so we were supposed to do this earlier. So you think I made... So, all right, Randy, play... So this is an introduction from the Drabblecast for during the month when we're only doing stories by female authors. Here we go. Play it. All right, yep.
This week, we close out Women and Aliens Tribute Month here on the Drabblecast with a Drabblecast original called Kariki Grocery by author Tori Hoke. Always fun to bring this special series
women
of
and all,
stories
yeah.
written by talented women writers to you folks each year. Mm-hmm. Special thanks to Drabblecast's special anthology editor, Nikki
Drake. If they're so talented, why they need a special month? Why they need affirmative action?
I dug her picks, and I hope you did too. Women have always written great SF.
Okay, women, remember guys, if you have to say it, it's because it's not true. No, women have not always written great SF. If women were writing great SF, they would not need affirmative action to get their science fiction on your podcast. Okay? No. And this all, I love it, they've always, that's like, it reminds me of, I've told this story before, I was sitting in one of my college classes many years ago, and it was actually an English composition class. It was a composition class. And the teacher, she says, well, so we got there somehow, whatever. She says, well, drugs have always been illegal. And I'm like, excuse me, they've always been illegal? You mean like since the very moment the Big Bang happened? And the universe, boom, and the planet Earth hasn't even formed yet. You're saying drugs were illegal back then. Do you understand what the word always means? Okay, no, women have not always written great science fiction. If women were writing great science fiction, people who like science fiction would be clamoring to read this great science fiction, and women would not need affirmative action to get their science fiction published.
But there's this idea you might have heard of called the glass ceiling.
Oh, God.
Where hardworking women in corporate America have been able to see high levels of success above them and even see beyond them, but are stuck from ever reaching the top because
victim
of this
card.
Intransparent artificial barrier and presumably the urge to stop in Windex.
Boom! Yes! yeah, we gotta stop and put Windex on that shit because it's dirty. Because, you know, that's what women should do is be cleaning the fucking house. And, of course, keep playing.
I'm just playing.
Yeah, he's just playing. He wouldn't really make a sexist joke. But, and there it is. The glass ceiling. See, these women, they write such great stories. But, then the glass ceiling, it's holding them down. The glass ceiling.
This week, we close out Women and Aliens Tribute Month here on the Drabblecast.
Play that again.
With a Drabblecast original.
I told you to close it, I know.
Kariki Grocery by author Tori Hoke. Always fun to bring this special series of alien
always
stories.
Always fun to, you know, discriminate against people for their gender.
Year. Special thanks to Drabblecast.
Always fun to do affirmative action.
Nikki Drayden for running the show this past month as guest editor. I dug her picks, and I hope you did too.
Mm-hmm. Or naked
women
pics?
Women have always written great SF.
Yeah, no,
they
haven't.
There's this idea you might have heard of
called the
glass ceiling.
Glass ceiling, yeah.
Hardworking
women, evil white men are holding them down.
Have been able to see
because women are really competent and capable, and that's why men can hold them down.
But are stuck from ever reaching the top.
Yeah, they can't reach the top.
Thin, transparent, artificial barrier.
They're so oppressed.
And presumably the urge to stop in Windex. I'm just playing.
Okay, now
because
listen.
Of attitudinal and corporate bias that people aren't always even aware they have.
Yeah, see, you're not aware that you're sexist.
But SF is different, because SF is the genre of rocket ships, and reaching beyond the ceiling is all part of the game there, Holmes.
Yeah, too bad all these stories by these women don't have any fucking rocket ships. It's just women talking about their feelings. If science fiction is the genre of rocket ships, why don't we have some more fucking rocket ships in the stories and a little less about our fucking feelings?
Beyond the atmosphere, beyond the stars, beyond frickin' space-time. SF is the genre of rocket ships because ceilings. Ain't no ceilings in zero G, baby.
because beep ceilings, because I don't have the balls to say the word fuck on my podcast. I will come on here and I will happily accuse all men of being racist, sexist, and homophobic, except of course myself, because I'm a beta male and I care so much about women. That's why I'm doing this entire month on my podcast where I only feature female authors and give them affirmative action, because these women are so strong and independent and capable, and their science fiction is so great. But of course, if they had to compete with male authors to get published, they would all fail. And so that's why I have to do affirmative action month for females.
Maybe that's Earth talk right there. The game has changed, brother. Poop floats out here. Get with the program.
Mm-hmm.
And SF is also the genre of aliens.
Now listen,
the idea of others out there.
Listen for the analogies.
Possibly even explorers a little like us. Intelligent, with aspirations and viewpoints and predispositions of their...
See, yeah, there's these others, explorers out there who are just like us, and they're intelligent and aspirations. And this is his thinly veiled attempt to talk... You know, he means women. He doesn't mean aliens. He's talking about women.
Their own. How do we behave towards these things? Things that come from some different place than us?
How do we behave towards these
how
women?
How readily do we accept them?
Why aren't we accepting them?
Or oppress them and...
We're oppressing them! Oh, we need to white knight for them more!
Exploit them.
We're exploiting them.
And sure, vice versa. But we can't even begin to interpret and discern any sort of alien mind without filtering it through our own lenses.
We just can't understand women. They're so deep.
SF as the genre of rocket ships, and SF as the genre of the alien, of the other, share one thing in common. And it's that they're both all about seeing past that metaphorical ceiling made of glass.
Yes, we're going to see past the glass ceiling, because we're going to see how we're oppressing these women, even though we don't recognize we're oppressing them, because, oh, we have penises, and we're white, and we're such terrible
people. Exploring as far beyond that ceiling as one might dare. But one of them uses transparent glass, and the other reflective. And there lies the difference.
You see, women are so reflective. Women are just so much more better than men are because they're so reflective. And that's why they play the victim card every moment of
and
their life.
And there are worlds of difference there, folks.
Oh,
galaxies even.
Of difference.
To give them
victim card. Victim cardology. Us have a whole month where we can get published, regardless of any talent. We just need vaginas. I didn't even get to the rest of the shit I was gonna do. I guess there's a part two for this one.